Rodgers excited to have him here.
Yep.
And he's going deep. They have not had a deep ball in a month. And Metcalf makes the catch.
Yeah, we did it against Cincinnati as well on the first third down. It wasn't the first play of the game. But I just like Art's kind of focus. He wanted to be aggressive throwing the ball. And I knew it was going to be a lot of different guys. But once DK got going, I just kind of had to keep feeding him. And he had a couple huge plays. And the Lions, in the second half, we've kind of sucked the first possession of the second half coming out. And, to start it off with a extended pass play and then DK to keep working and keep working and keep working and have a big play, get us down there, get a field goal, and go down and score a touchdown. That was two good drives for us to start the half.
Sight for sore eyes. A deep shot on the first play of the ball game for the Steelers offense. And then they just kept feeding the big horse, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
7 catches for DK Metcalf on 12 targets, 148 yards. Yeah, baby! Give the ball to your number one wide receiver. There shouldn't be a game the rest of the year in the regular season, or if they should make it to the playoffs, where he doesn't see at least 10 targets.
Absolutely.
Force feed the $150 million man. He had a couple drops. Okay, it's going to happen. DK doesn't always have the best hands. Maybe win a 50-50 ball in the end zone, not the nitpick, but 7 for 148. If you do that, you're probably going to win. And I am not buying that one victory is going to change the Steelers' season. However, if they play with this aggressive offensive posture against Miami, if they do it against Detroit, and they do it with success, then yeah, maybe my mind could be changed. This is the path to victory. They haven't run the ball enough. They were terrible running the football yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers had their most impressive run. How about that guy? He's like, I saw two big old fatties running after me, and I figured I could score. I figure I'm at least as fast as those guys. But this team is going to go as far as Aaron Rodgers will take them, and maybe more importantly, they're going to go as far as they allow Aaron Rodgers
to take them. That's where it's at. What are they going to allow them to do? Their backs were against the wall, clearly. And I agree with most of the callers saying that, they're upset about the whole Tomlin thing. And, they showed some aggression yesterday and they went out there with their backs against the wall, blah, blah, blah. But are you going to do that week in and week out for the rest of the season? And will the coaching staff allow them to play the way that they played, especially on offense? I don't know. I just don't know yet. I haven't seen consistency of that throughout the whole entire season. So we'll see Monday night what team shows up.
That's right.
Miami.
Because Rodgers crystallized it there in that answer. That's what they did against Cincinnati. And they threw it all over the place. And they took the lead on a second down and 20 play to Pat Freiermuth. Because they were slanging that rock. It shouldn't be a Thursday night a month ago, and then now finally you get right back to it. This needs to be who they are. And if they can, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if they can continue to do this and get this on tape and they're hitting these shots, you would think that the running game would be able to pick up
right,
because the defense is going to have to respect you attacking every blade of grass and not just the sidelines. Because they hit on a broken play, DK Metcalf on a cross or something you had called for. I know it was a broken play, but still beautiful. Took a deep shot to Calvin Austin that was again placed in the bucket by Aaron Rodgers. If you look at his passing chart, oh my God, they attacked the middle of the field. It's not a new concept. You attack every blade of grass, the defense has to respect your offense. My God. Do it again, and I'll start to believe. But we've seen one-offs for the Steelers in a bunch of different areas. Beginning of the year, they couldn't pass protect. Now they're pretty good in pass protection.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier in the year, they were able to run the ball a little bit. Now they can't run the ball. They still have terrible run defense. I think they did a really good job on Derrick Henry yesterday, but overall the run defense was lacking again.
Again, yes.
It seems like when they improve in certain areas, they lag in others. And so,
like a seesaw.
Yes. I'm not just going to sit here and believe, oh, they threw it all over the place against Baltimore. They're going to do the same thing against Miami. If they do, okay.
Right.
okay, you might get a little bit more positivity out of me. And I would hope that that's the case. 412-928-9370. Here's a text I have to respond to. Now it's the Ravens suck. Last week you were glazing the hell out of them, saying they were going to dominate us. LMFAO. Crowley crying more than Baltimore fans this morning. People hear what they want to hear, man. I said all week long Baltimore sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought they sucked less than the Steelers.
That's exactly same here.
And it's okay to acknowledge that the Steelers did something that I didn't think they would do.
Okay, so say Isaiah likely catches that ball and the Steelers lose. What are people talking about today? Are they talking about that their backs were against the wall, that they played aggressive, like that the, you know, that the Steelers are better than, like, what like that,
you know what they're talking about?
Right.
What? The Steelers blew another second half lead.
Exactly. It was that close. I could see if the score was 27-10 or 27-7. It came down to the last minute of the game.
We're a half a step from Isaiah likely away from a Steelers loss, and talking about the run defense more today, and talking about how the defense let the offense and Aaron Rodgers down, and how they're the only team in football that's blown this many second-half leads. That's all the stuff we're talking about. If my man gets his foot down, and he was this close to getting the third foot down. Whether you agree or disagree, that's what the rule was. It's supposed to be. He was this close to getting the third foot down, and then all the problems are still there.
Exactly. I could see if it was a blowout. It wasn't.
and they had to get blood from a stone against a team that we all see is not very good. And we said that last week. If you didn't want to hear it, that's on you. 412-928-9370. To the phones?
To the phones.
To the phones. Corey in New Brighton. Hi, Corey. Corey! He's distracted by Topanga. Let's go to Tractor in Pittsburgh. Hello, Tractor.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What up?
Hey, man. First, I just got to get this off, man. Great win. Defense stepped up to the highest pace. So, you know, what a way to go out with that win. But, man, I got to disagree with some of these callers, man. What it looks like is the Bills just won't get the 5, even if we do win. Get that 4 seed. We just don't match up good with them. How do you beat the Bills? One of two things. You either got to run the ball or you got to play good defense. Out of the 4 losses that the Buffalo Bills have this year, the loss against the Dolphins and the Falcons, Achane and Bijan ran for over 170 yards rushing. We're not doing that. The other 2 losses, the Patriots and the Texans, they have much better defenses at this juncture than what we have. So even if we do squeak in, it's just a mismatch for us. The Bills always play us good. We're not going to be able to stop the run. Again, good effort, but I think it's just a bad matchup. And if Achane plays, I know he left this week with the rib injury. I just think this is just a letdown spot.
Well,
you always take – go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about it myself, and we'll get into the Dolphins game a little bit later on in the week. McDaniel did say after the game that if it was a close game, he thinks he'd have put him back in.
Mm-hmm.
So my expectation is with an extra day that he'll probably be ready to go. That being said, I agree with pretty much everything Tractor said there. Like, I'll probably pick the Steelers, but will I do so with a ton of confidence?
No.
Absolutely not. Anybody who's happy about the win and now saying this is going to springboard them. Hey, I get it. We're all fans. You live in the moment. But one win against a bad team, referee-aided, doesn't have me dancing around thinking, oh, all of a sudden this team's going to be playing in the AFC Championship game.
Exactly.
412-928-9370.
But you're allowed to feel good right now. We're not saying don't feel good.
Correct.
I feel good. Get on to Baltimore. You get a win. Now you're in first place. Like, there's a lot of good things that came from this football game. Absolutely.
Would I rather win the AFC North and not win a playoff game or not make the playoffs altogether? I'd rather win the AFC North. And so for that reason, I'm happier today than I would have been had they lost the football game. But it doesn't make me think that they're going to be this January darling. We need more of this from Rodgers. If we get more of this from Rodgers against Miami, I'll start to fill up with a little bit more hopium. If they do it against Detroit.
And now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Yes, we are.
Texter, I must be listening and texting the wrong radio station. Last week it was bench Rodgers, play Howard, fire Tom, and this team sucks, blah, blah, blah. And now it's Thielen and MVS save the season in a game the refs absolutely blew. Man, you got to stop the Q-tip when there's resistance.
I don't think he's talking about us or she. I think just in general from people.
What the hell are we? Didn't say Thielen saved the season.
I think people are saying that. Like people were firing Tomlin last week, and now people are like on board and saying these are the reasons why they won, and it's looking good.
I'll be very clear. If the Steelers go 9-8 and lose a playoff game, I'm firing Tomlin again. Like this doesn't put a pin in it for me. These are still the same old Steelers. Like they're on pace to go 9-8. They were 10-7 last year. They were 10-7 the year before that. It doesn't change much, except for giving me a little bit of joy in the moment, which I'm fine with. Angela in Beachview, the queen of the Fan Morning Show. Hello.
What's up, guys? You know, they beat us in total plays, yep. Total yards, time of possession. We found a way to pull it out. And when Patrick Queen came back in the game, he was instrumental in stopping that last 2-minute drive. He was great at the end yesterday. But, you know, it kind of does perpetuate the myth that we're a playoff caliber team. We'll see. And we need to do something about our run game. I don't know what's going on there.
They got outrushed by 183 yards. If people are excited about the victory and think that that's a recipe that they can continue to get away with, you're smoking crack. Thank you for the call, Angela.
Yes.
412-928-937 here. If you only looked at the stats and you didn't know the final score, you'd think the Ravens won the football game. There's one key stat that won the game for the Steelers, and that's that Baltimore went 2-for-6 in the red zone.
Yeah.
That's really what it came down to. I said before the game, we said before the game, you stop the run, you got a chance to win. They didn't do it, and they still won the game, and I guess that's good. But that recipe, this is the recipe all season long,
yeah,
man.
They haven't stopped the run at all.
They haven't stopped the run. And we've talked about it. The defense gets tired late in games. Now, part of that's the defense needs to get off the damn field. And T.J. Watt even said that after the Bills game last week. But this continues to happen. The Ravens ran 77 plays. Steelers ran 51. That's happening every single week. It is not a recipe for consistent football. It's just not. So forgive me that I'm not doing somersaults here and shooting rainbows out of my ass. I'm happy that they won. It doesn't give me any faith that they're going to beat Miami next week. Why would it? For anybody. 412-928-9370. What did Mike Tomlin have to say about the defensive performance in this game? We'll let you hear from him. We'll take your phone calls coming up next. Again, at 412-928-9370. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And you can give us a ring on that fan hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Texas brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money from you. Tweet us brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Real quick, got a text from my mom this weekend. She got fooled by a Facebook post, Doran.
Oh, no.
Some crap Facebook page, Steel Curtain Nation is what it's called. My mom sent this to me and she asked me if this was real. Mike Tomlin faces terminal illness, refuses treatment, vows one last moment under the stadium lights. In an earth-shattering moment for the football world, Mike Tomlin collapsed mid-sentence during a closed-door team meeting in Pittsburgh. And what doctors discovered left everyone stunned, .. And she sends this to me asking if it's real.
Oh, my goodness. I see that all the time. And people that...
It's sickening, man.
I know. It's ridiculous that people come up with that stuff. But you know how many people do believe that, though?
I know! My dad sends me one every other week. My mom sends me, like, two a week. My mom thought Hines Ward was coming to replace Tomlin during the offseason. Like, the people who put this together... You're sickos, especially when you're talking about like terminal illness and stuff. But get your elderly family members off of the Facebook because they can't navigate it. Now with AI, it is no good.
Tough.
Mike Tomlin was heaping praise on his defense after the game.
Man, I'm just appreciative, man. Start having linebackers go down that period of time when Patrick Queen was unavailable to us was uncomfortable. But that's just the... component of it. That's why it's the ultimate team game. I'm just appreciative of the collective efforts.
I will say, while I don't necessarily buy into this meaning the Steelers are going to go on some rip-roaring run here, I'll give them a ton of credit for playing their asses off yesterday. Because they did get gashed by the run. And in the fourth quarter, that tide was turning. And all the momentum was on Baltimore's side. And what have we seen from this team a bunch this year? Against Green Bay, they don't get the call. And then they go down the field. And they fold.
They fold.
Last week against Buffalo, they weren't playing well. But they're up 7-3. That game was over the second Rodgers gets sacked and that's returned for a touchdown. Over. And we've seen it time and time again this year from the Steelers. They haven't been able to handle adversity. In this game, the defense had two chances to close it, and they did. They get the turnover on downs, and they get the Highsmith sack at the end of the football game. Credit where credit's due. You give up 22 points on the road against a team with an MVP, a multiple-time MVP, and Derrick Henry as well. You deserve credit for that, and I'll give a ton of credit to guys like Patrick Queen, man. Patrick Queen came and fought his ass off after getting hurt, had three of his seven tackles down the stretch, helped break up the pass on that 4th-and-8 play. That was a big moment in the game. James Pierre had the interception. I thought he was good all day long. I thought Alex Highsmith was good all day long. So full marks to the defense. Yes, they got gashed. Yes, they gave up over 400 yards. Yes, they lost the time of possession battle. But do you score points or do you not score points? 22. It's a decent effort.
See, like, and that's exactly where I'm at. That's why I was saying earlier, like, feel good about this win. Mm-hmm. I mean, the NFL obviously is very tough. It's tough to win, you know, week in and week out, and especially whenever you're going to your rival's home and with a lot on the line. So it was a good win at the end of the day. But if you want to poke holes, I feel like the Steelers, knowing how hard it is to win in the NFL week in and week out, the Steelers have done themselves no favors throughout the season. They've made it even harder for themselves to win. That's kind of where I'm at, and that's why I don't have the faith going into next week playing against the Dolphins, is because the little things that really good teams or just even good teams, they don't let happen, the Steelers let happen. And that's why the faith for me is like, don't know which team I'm going to get every single week. It's the little details. It's like the being in the wrong position. It's taking the wrong angles. It's, you know, scheme. It's not throwing the ball to them. Like little things that – good teams just it's automatic. It's automatic. The Steelers don't do. They had some holes yesterday. They did fix and do some things well yesterday as well. But does that really give you the faith that they're going to put it all together next week? That's just where I'm at. But good win.
Good win.
I mean, good win.
And if they come out next week throwing the ball down the field, I'll start to believe a little bit more.
Yeah.
They come out, they start throwing the ball down the field against Detroit. I'll feel a little bit better about this football team. But we've seen one game spurts from them all season long. Two is a streak. Three, oh yeah, baby. We ain't there yet.
Do I think that they could beat a really good football team? And there's not many really good football teams in the AFC, but do I think they could beat a really good football team on a given day? Sure.
They have.
They have. That's one thing I did see. But consistently, can they beat the teams that they're neck and neck with? Or, you know, above, I just haven't seen that consistency. But yeah, sure, they could beat a really good football team. Like, they could lose next week. They can, and then they can go and beat the Lions. Like, I could see that happening with the Steelers. That's just the type of team that they are.
It's a hard team to figure out. It really is, because you beat Indianapolis at the time they were world beaters.
Right.
You beat New England.
New England,
the best team in the conference. You beat them. It was weird how it went down, but you beat them. I mean, that's all that matters. Against Green Bay, you played well in the first half. Couldn't hold on to the lead. Against Buffalo, you had the lead at halftime. And then you got demolished in the second half. There's just no rhyme, reason with the way that things go. And if they weren't in the worst division in football, they'd be sitting here at 7-6 on the outside looking in, and it wouldn't have, this show wouldn't have some positivity injected into it. 412-928-9370. The phone calls are coming. And we will talk to Inns next. We'll also break down some of these officiating calls, these 50-50 calls that all seemingly went the Steelers' way.
Even though we're in the end zone, fellas, remember, in order for this to be a completed catch, he must complete all three elements of the catch. Likely has possession. We saw 2 feet down. Great look here. Possession, 2 feet, but he has to have the time to make a football move or a football move. It's that element right there that they are ruling he did not finish the third element.
He did not finish the third element. Joey Porter Jr. fighting through. I think the rule sucks, but I think they applied it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are two different things. I think they ruled it a touchdown so that they could review it. I think when in doubt, if there's something that's close to being a scoring play, you say, that's a tutty.
Yeah.
And then you take a look at it under the hood. I would be irate if I were a Ravens fan. I was irate whenever the whole Jesse James thing happened because it's not common sense. But that's the way it's supposed to be officiated. That being said, Steelers still got away with it.
Yeah.
They got away with one there. My man is a millisecond away from getting that third foot down before the ball gets punched out. Good for Joey Porter Jr., but they are that close to being down with 2 minutes and, what, 47 seconds to go in the football game.
Maybe a stupid question, but if he gets that foot down and Joey Porter Jr. simultaneously knocks the ball out, would that be a fumble?
Stop it. Stop it. I don't think so. I think if he gets the foot, the third foot down,
like,
then boom, it's a touchdown.
Knocked out.
I think because it's in the end zone. So it's a good question. If it's this is my understanding, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so take this all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, same. Like
if he gets the third down in the end zone because it's in the end zone and he's got possession, that's a touchdown. If that happens over the middle of the field and he takes three steps and then it gets punched out, that's a fumble.
Right.
Yep.
So if you're not breaking the plane because you can't because you're not a runner,
mm-hmm.
And you have and so if you have possession, the third foot simultaneously hits the ground while Joey Porter Jr. knocks it out, wouldn't that be a fumble?
Not in the end zone. In the end zone, if you have control and you were in, it's a touchdown.
Okay.
My brain hurts.
So does mine, but I just don't know.
If I'm a Ravens fan, I'm irate today.
Yeah, pissed.
But I'm a Steelers fan, and so you know what? Suck on them apples, baby! Woo-hoo-hoo! Yes! Yes! I'll take that dub. I didn't expect them to go up in there and win. So whatever it takes, doesn't matter. Officiating help, New York help, I don't care. I don't care. I didn't think it would come down to something like this. I will give them credit for being in the fight mm-hmm. so that stuff like this could actually benefit them. I thought they were going to lose by a couple of scores.
Yep.
So good for them to be in a position where now in Baltimore they're probably talking about a whole bunch of different stuff because their team sucks. But they're probably talking about the officiating too. I never thought a game like this would come down to stuff like that.
Nope.
Because I thought the Steelers were going to get dunked on the way that they got dunked on against the Buffalo Bills. So there's that one. Then there's the Rodgers call. 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Rodgers said he was trying to swat it down. He winds up catching the ball with his broken arm in his soft cast. That couldn't have felt good.
Nope.
He goes down. His knees are on the ground. They say that's enough for control. That's one. I think I'd have been okay with it either way. Because I thought the Ravens player also had control, and then he was on the ground with full control.
Well, Rodgers had control first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then his knee was down, and then it popped out. And
yeah.
Then it started moving.
Yeah. Yeah. If they had ruled it the other way, I don't think I'd have batted an eye, though.
Right.
I think I'd have been like, yeah, I don't know if he ever had control.
Right.
That ruling changed the game too, because if Baltimore gets the ball deep in Steelers territory there, I know the Steelers held up in the red zone all game long, but that just would have been one more mm-hmm. opportunity, and eventually the dam breaks. The one call they got wrong, I thought, was the roughing the snapper.
Absolutely.
You're allowed to rush in the gap there.
You can't hit head or neck area.
You
right?
can't hit him in the head or neck and area didn't. And he didn't. You're also not allowed to line up over the snapper, which he didn't. And that wound up being a 4-point swing. Steelers kicked the field goal there. They get three. So they're up 13-3. It's a first down. Then they get up 17-3. That was the Kenneth Gainwell touchdown, I believe. So massive.
Mm-hmm.
Massive call there. If I'm a Ravens radio host today and I'm bitching about any call, that's probably the one that I'm bitching about the most. What did you think about the officiating and what New York had to say in replay assist Steelers fans? 412-928-9370. I love this. This adds to the Steelers-Ravens rivalry like, there's always been calls that have shaped games. And the one that comes to mind immediately is when Santonio Holmes had his feet in the end zone and he pulls the ball into his body in 2008. And he's pulling the ball in and it never crossed the plane, I don't think. But they said, well, his 2 feet were in, so that's a touchdown. Even though at the front of the goal line, that's not really supposed to be the rule. Ravens fans all week long leading up to that game in 08 said, we got the best defense. And the Steelers went like 90 yards, and they wanted to bitch about the last inch. Get out of here. 412-928-9370. How are we feeling about the Stripes? How are we feeling about New York? Bob in Belle Vernon. Hi, Bob.
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Hey, the reason I'm calling, you know, yesterday before the game started, I looked at the glass half empty. And I thought for sure, in my mind, and I'm a diehard Steelers fan, and I thought they were going to get blown out.
Me too, buddy.
Boy, was I wrong. But I'll tell you what. Now I'm looking at the glass half full.
Oh, boy.
Which is crazy.
Why?
You know what?
Why are you looking at it half full? What showed you that? What gave you that confidence?
Them just, you know, beating them at the end of the game. Even though the officiating was a little bit crazy and it went the Steelers' way for once, that gave me some kind of hope. And now, here's what I'm thinking. If I myself thought the team was going to lose yesterday, and now they ended up winning, you know what? I have to say something. I must be a true diehard Steelers fan, because now I want all the fans in Pittsburgh to start chanting, here we go. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Bob. I mean, they're still 7-6 on the fast track to 9-8. They're who they always are.
Yep.
I need to see it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it against Miami. Go do it against Detroit. Detroit's a good football team. They're not as good as we thought they would be. Their offensive line has not been quite as good as we thought it would be. But Jahmyr Gibbs might have something to say about all that.
Yeah.
But you find a way to win the next two. You're aggressive offensively. You start throwing the ball down the field. We look at Rodgers' passing chart, and it looks more like it did against Baltimore than it has the three previous weeks. Yeah, I'll start to believe a little bit more too. But I would caution you, Bob. You don't want to get too hopeful. As Red said in Shawshank Redemption, hope is a dangerous thing. Why did I try to do it with a Freeman voice?
Hope is a dangerous thing.
There you go. Why did I do that?
It wasn't bad.
What if TK said hope is a dangerous thing?
Boy, listen, hope, like, whenever, like, it was like in, when we're in playoff, we had a lot of hope, and, like, it was dangerous.
412-928-9370, the number to call. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin on the additions of Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Adam Thielen. No Roman Wilson. Caboli joins us in about 14 minutes. It's the Fan Morning Show. 15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. A texter writes in, delaying the inevitable. Steelers still need change. As the old saying goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool a Yinzer 20 times, and he still doesn't realize he's been fooled. Unrelated, Ken Rosenthal reporting the Pirates have offered a 4-year, $100 million contract to Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, boy.
Yes!
If the Steelers win a playoff game and the Pirates sign Kyle Schwarber, I'm going to get naked live on the air.
Please don't do that.
You can call off.
All right.
I think legally, if I'm at my house and we only stream it on the internet, totally fine. Nudity on the internet's fine.
Why would it being on the radio matter? Nobody can see it.
I can't come up in here at work and be naked. That is illegal. But if I'm
just
at home.
Just don't do it at all.
If they get Schwarber and the Steelers win a playoff game and the Penguins, they're marching towards the playoffs. Things are looking up around here, baby.
If the Pirates sign Kyle Schwarber, you should do something nice for me, because I'm the first one that said I think it could happen.
I still don't buy it, but yes, you will have been proven correct about one of the biggest signing in Pirates history. I'm not...
He's not signing here.
No, because it's 4 years, $108 million, according to Ken Rosenthal, and the Phillies are interested, and the Red Sox are interested. Right. And here's the deal. If you want to get Kyle Schwarber, you're going to have to outbid those guys.
Correct.
Because I'm not taking less from Pittsburgh to play here, even though there's a short porch. Kyle, it's short porch. Can we call Kyle? Short porch, big deal.
Are you taking more from Pittsburgh to play here, too, though?
I need to take...
Like, if Pittsburgh was the highest bidder, but you're, like, $2 million less to go to stay in Philly, wouldn't you take $2 million less to stay in Philly if you're Schwarber?
Yeah, you have to outbid them significantly.
Right.
Like, it would have to be either in terms of the... Like, 4 years ain't it. If I'm the Bucks, I give them, like, a seven-year deal. Same average annual value, but I give them, like, a seven-year deal, so you've got that guaranteed money rolling in. 412-928-9370. Mike Tomlin, after the game, talked about Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Adam Thielen. They combined for one catch and 4 yards.
I appreciate their efforts, man. I think their experience showed, but certainly maybe with another week, man, it's reasonable to expect it to be better.
I mean, the bigger news is that Roman Wilson didn't get a helmet. And last year it made sense. He's hurt. He's not picking things up. Now he's in year two, and you bring in two elders, and they get helmets over that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to work out in Pittsburgh. Just calling that shot.
I just don't see where he would get one. Like, I mean, you got Skowronek, who made plays all over the field, honestly, yesterday. He made catches. He made plays on special teams. I mean, he was all over the field. Wait, did you see DK Metcalf take a gunner rep?
His first gunner rep since college, and in college he only took one gunner rep.
That's awesome.
It's so awesome.
That's awesome. For your number one $150 million receiver to be like, no, let me take it. You're banged up, let me take it. That's big time.
Yes, it is.
I like that.
And he was eating a double team going down there the whole way. That's a hell of a punt by Corliss Waitman, too.
That's a tough job. The guy, gunners, what?
Well, we saw, was it Skowronek who was getting bullied out of bounds, uh-huh, too, and he fights his way back into the play? Being a gunner looks hard as hell.
It's very hard.
Are the two toughest, forget quarterback, are the two toughest things to do being a gunner and being a punt returner? Like, being a punt returner seems...
That's very tough.
Yeah.
To have to judge the ball, and then you have to make your move, because you're looking up, looking down, looking up, looking down, seeing where everybody's at, and then judging the ball and catching the ball, and then you're probably going to get whacked. Yeah, it's very tough.
Mm-hmm. 412-928-9370. Not seeing a future here for Roman Wilson. Mark Caboli going to join us next. Kind enough, after getting in around midnight last night, to join us for a couple of hours. Does this victory for the Steelers change his outlook on this team at all? We'll get his thoughts. We'll get your calls at 412-928-9370. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high at 29, low at 22, and overcast. Tomorrow, a little warmer, highs in the mid-30s. It's Fan Morning Show.